Blog Talk Radio.
In reality, I am Super Chicken.
All righty. Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve and at a value you can appreciate. ManaPro, nurturing life. Andy Schneider, the Chicken Whisperer, is doing a ManaPro event. In fact, today, he will be back with us tomorrow. I'm Pat Foreman, your host, and I'm the author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, Day Range Poultry, Backyard Market Gardening, and a couple other sustainable agricultural books. Our special guest co-host today is Jesse Paul of Bidbird, BIDBIRD.com, Bidbird.com. Today, oh my goodness, today is Wednesday, August 24th, 2011, and we would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio talk show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, gardening, market gardening, urban farming, emergency preparedness, which is pretty good with the earthquake we had in Virginia and the East Coast yesterday, and, of course, living, even more importantly, a self-sufficient and healthy lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day. If you can't sleep, just tune us in. We'll help you get right back to the snooze. So 24 hours a day, you can listen to this show. All the episodes are archived. And if you get to find that, just go to our website, thechickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. And from there, you can follow us on Facebook, become a fan on Twitter, visit our blog, and even sign up for a monthly newsletter, The Chicken Scratch. And, of course, there's all kinds of Chicken Whisperer gear. And if you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, we invite you to join us in the chicken chat room that's going on right now. Right now, you can talk with other poultry pioneers and chicken folks from around the country and even across the world. And you can even ask and post any questions you might have when we have our special guests on. To join the live chat room, just log in to Blog Talk Radio, click register, and then you can enter in your own creative, fun, and original screen name and literally start chatting along with the chat room chickeneers right away. It is really that easy. So we invite you also to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. Please take a moment to do this today. And again, we thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by ManaPro.
Everyone has heard of ManaPro, but not everyone knows that ManaPro is a company that makes the care and nutrition of your animals the absolute highest priority. The animals in our lives are a lot of things: pets, friends, providers, gardeners, and entertainment. So we want to take care of them with the same dedication with which they take care of us. That's why ManaPro is 100% committed to one thing above all else: nurturing life. Visit ManaPro.com for more information.
Looking for an all-natural way to keep your flock healthy from intestinal parasites? Tired of wasting all those eggs due to a long withdrawal period? The answer is Vermex. With no artificial chemicals, Vermex has been a huge success for many species, offering a completely natural way to address intestinal hygiene control and improve general health. Check out the online store at www.vermexusa.com, vermexusa.com, to see what products you need to keep your animals healthy. Vermex, natural control of intestinal parasites.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
Hey ladies, do you have a hard time finding the perfect gift for that animal lover on your list? I did, but not anymore. I shop at HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a great selection of dog, cat, horse, and chicken gifts that are not only cute, but affordable too. Check them out at HobbyHillFarm.com and become a Facebook fan at Facebook.com/HobbyHillFarm to receive updates on new products and special discounts. I just know you're going to love HobbyHillFarm.com. I do.
Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
All righty, folks. No, it's not Super Chicken. It's just a Chicken Whisperer, Backyard Poultry and Sustainable Lifestyles talk show. It is now time, it is finally time to bring on our special guest, Jesse Paul of Bidbird. Jesse, here we go. Welcome to the show,
there you
Jesse.
Go.
There's your drum roll. Hey.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, well, thanks for coming on the show today. You always bring a lot to the show, and love your sense of humor most of the time.
You know, most of the time, it's my pleasure, and I'm excited today. We've got a great guest, and boy, I tell you what, I'm an equal opportunity offender, and so is Bill Wolf. So make sure you have some sound effects when he comes on. I think maybe a ding rather than a drum roll. So, anyways. How are
a
you,
ding
Pat?
And a drum roll. Oh, my gosh. I don't
Yeah,
think,
no drum roll.
It's
a zing, a wing. Yes.
A zing? Well, Bill's from Indiana. Yeah. You know, I was bred, born, and raised in Indiana, so I'm not sure I could give a zing to another fellow Hoosier. That's that might actually be in all in good stead.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
We'll see.
Anyway, so tell us about the earthquake yesterday. Seeing
oh,
a little
my
sky
God.
Falling. Tell us.
It was so much fun. I know you're going to think I'm crazy, but it happened right after I ordered. Jesse, remember, we had a blackout yesterday morning here in the Shenandoah Valley, just in my section of it. And so right after the Chicken Whisperer talk show, I ordered my global solar oven and a solar shower to be a little more emergency prepared. And I just
the shower.
Pushing the button.
That's
to
funny.
Order that, yeah, so I could be squeaky clean, even when there's no water in the faucets. So I went out and was doing some dishes, and all of a sudden the house started rocking and rolling. And I grabbed the sink thinking, oh, am I having a dizzy spell? But I've never had a dizzy spell. So I go running outside, realizing it's an earthquake, which we hardly ever have here. I mean, there was one little one. And I call in my dogs, Beamer, Woody, come quick, get out of the house. And Woody comes tearing out, and Beamer's a little hard of hearing.
Well, how hard
does
it shake?
So she comes. It was about 30 seconds. It knocked down a ballast, a light ballast in my downstairs bathroom.
Well, tell us, how bad was it shaking though? Before you ran out. I mean, what stuff was falling off the shelves? I mean, how bad was it?
I just had one little thing fall off the shelf, and this ballast was shaken down in the bathroom. So and I could see, I mean, the floors were moving. It wasn't just me. So I'm calling Beamer, and she comes out. She's kind of sleepy. She doesn't hear very well. And she promptly does a downward dog in the middle of the kitchen, just about a few feet from outside the door. She has no clue what was going on.
Yeah.
But this is where it gets fun. So we're all outside, the cats, everyone's outside, and it finally stops. And then my neighbor, who rents an apartment just really close by, opens the door to her apartment and is holding on for dear life. And she sees me, and she says, and she was sound asleep because she works days. She was absolutely sound asleep. She says, "Pat, I think I just had a seizure." I mean, do I look okay? Of course, I burst out laughing. I said, no, it was just an earthquake. She goes, "Oh, my God, I was half the bed when I woke up, and then things were moving.
Yeah.
I thought I was having a seizure." So then, no. And then meanwhile, I went back in, and my other neighbor had called. They just moved in last week, and the message on the phone, her voice was really stressed, and she's going, "Pat, I just put a load of laundry in my washer, and it was going, and now the house is shaking. I thought I didn't load it that heavy, but is it my laundry shaking the house or an earthquake?" So, of course, oh, my God, she was serious. So, anyway, went over to her house, and we all sort of cavorted. The phones went totally berserk after that call. I couldn't call her back.
Oh.
The lines were all jammed.
Yeah.
So it was a 5.9, pretty significant for here. And
right.
I guess they evacuated the Capitol building and felt it
yeah.
clear down in North Carolina and up to Philadelphia. So pretty big.
It's crazy, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
Were just thinking
did you feel it in Florida?
No. You
probably
were probably
didn't.
Thinking you had too much coffee, didn't you?
No, I didn't have any coffee yesterday, but I did go to the farmer's market today, and I had a quarter cup, so.
Got back, are you?
So look out. I've had my quarter cup of basically a half and half with the coffee-colored
coffee-flavored
half and half.
Cream, yes.
Yeah.
Well,
so it was quite a day. Of course, everyone's all abuzz now about the earthquake and what does it mean, and then this morning, Jesse, I woke up, we had another blackout.
Wow.
So I'm going, darn, this is so unusual. What's really going on? So this time I figured Gaddafi had really taken over the country. He was taking advantage of the earthquake.
Yes. Muammar Gaddafi is taking over. Oh, my goodness.
He's on the loose.
I think Phil Wolf has a better chance of taking over than Gaddafi does. But, you know, we'll find out when we talk to him in a little bit. Anyway.
Yes.
You know, speaking of earth-shattering type of things, you know, we also need to keep an eye on that hurricane that's out there.
Yes.
Do
In
not
fact, I've
get
got
by
it up
that.
Here.
Yes.
With your storm pulse, it looks like it's going to hit Raleigh pretty well, and Washington D.C. right up the mouth of the Potomac there.
Yeah, if you go to and if you're in the chat room or listening to us, this is an awesome tool. stormpulse.com/Atlantic. It tells you or shows you where the projected path is and everything else. But Pat, up in the top right on the forecast models, if you click on that, it is showing a shift further out to the east of the eastern to the Atlantic, away from shore. So keep your fingers crossed. Those of you in the Carolinas, and looks like maybe New York City is going to get it, maybe Canada. So there you go.
Well, yeah, even up to Vermont, according to this the one that I'm looking at, it looks like I used to live in Burlington. It's right in the zone there. Dang.
Yes. It'll weaken by the time it gets there because the waters won't be as warm. But, you know, today's, Wednesday, it's... By the weekend, it's going to be making landfall somewhere. It's up there, so be careful, be watchful. There's if it's as bad as it looks, it could be a little bit worse than the earthquake you had. That.
Well, I had such a fun time with the earthquake. Although I did go on a little bit of an eating binge afterwards. I think it was an emotional kind of response. I couldn't stop eating peanut butter and honey. I just kept.
Oh my goodness.
No, and that's rare for me. It's like it just tasted so good. I don't know if it was by adrenaline rush or what, but it was
you know, it was
something.
How would you like to have the name of the hurricane? That's my mother's name. I get to call her and say, you know, it just reminds me of being a kid again, Ma. She doesn't think it's funny, but personally, I do. I think Irene's kind of a fitting name for a storm like that. If you've seen My Mother Angry, you'll understand why. But how would you like to have a big Hurricane Pat Foreman out there one day, you know?
Well, that's quite a bit far up the alphabet, but I'm sure there's been a Hurricane Pat before. Yeah, I really try not to get mad. It's such not a pretty sight. It's really kind of embarrassing. So.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I know the 1 year, actually, we went through all the letters in the alphabet, and I think they had to start all over again. That was just 4, 5, 6 years ago, I think. They actually went through every single, every name. They had to scramble for some new ones, I guess. Yep. So it can happen. But.
Well, it seems like with our shifting weather patterns and climate changes, it could maybe this will be another one. Let's see, we've already had Irene, and we're on Irene. We had Harvey. Give the guys equal credit. We had Gert, Franklin, Emily, Dawn, Cindy, Brett, and Arlene. So that's the hurricanes we've had so far this year. I know that because it's listed right here on this website.
Well, now, there you go.
StormPulse.com.
I was going to say, you've got great memory. But the thing is, they weren't all hurricanes. This is the first hurricane of the season. The other ones were just tropical storms. They're named when they become tropical storms. Yes.
You're right.
It's the first hurricane to make U.S. landfall potentially in the last 3 years, so we have been lucky.
Yeah, we are lucky in so many ways. We're so lucky. Mm. It's true. It's
yes. True. No, we're lucky.
So what was your day like yesterday?
I'm sorry, how was what?
I mean, down there in Florida.
How was what, Pat? I didn't hear
How
you.
Was your day yesterday in down in Florida? How are you doing today?
Well, it was fine. No, we didn't feel anything. I mean, it didn't come down this far, but you know, my day was interrupted in the middle by having to do this radio show. So, but aside from that, the day was wonderful.
Oh dear, it does break the day up. I kind of measure my days sort of a pre Chicken Whisperer talk show and post Chicken Whisperer. It is an arranging of a daily schedule. That's true.
Oh, most definitely. It is fun being on here, though. So again, for calling us up and having us come co-host while Andy's away. And I guess Andy will be back tomorrow, correct?
That's what he said. Yep, he'll be back tomorrow. He's doing a big Manapro event, I guess. I talked with him yesterday after the earthquake, the big EQ, I guess. And he said they've met so many people and dealers and so many fans. So he's having a pretty good time, sounded like.
Well, good for him. Looking forward to having him back tomorrow. I'm sure all the fans are just about getting tired of me being on. So
No.
With him coming back tomorrow.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
But what's interesting, Jesse, is I was kind of thinking about the show, and these earthquakes and blackouts have caused me to be in a pensive mood, which is a good thing. I probably don't spend enough time in being pensive. And I was thinking, I've been lucky enough to be co-host for over 2 years now on this Chicken Whisperer talk show. And I was looking back over my notes, and it's like, my gosh, it has really been like a piece of rich fudge. I've got so many notes from all our special guests and learned so much. It's been really, really fine. So
a piece of rich fudge, but not as fattening.
Rich fudge for the mind. Yeah, there you
yes.
go. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, anyways. I do have some chickens in the news if you're ready for it.
Yep, I think it is time for chickens in the news, and chickens in the news is brought to us by Meyer Hatchery. Hold on.
Yes.
Since 1985, Meyer Hatchery in Polk, Ohio has been a family-owned and operated business. Meyer Hatchery is a year-round hatchery that offers over 160 breeds of poultry, including chickens, ducks, geese, turkeys, guineas, peafowl, and game birds, plus a full line of feed and supplies. Just need a few baby chicks? No problem. Meyer Hatchery will ship as few as 3 baby chicks. Check them out online at MeyerHatchery.com. That's MeyerHatchery.com.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, you know, every time I hear Meyer Hatchery, I think of my good friend Jessie out there. Or Jess. She is wonderful. So, anyways, Pat, you there? Uh-oh. Pat made a little zing and she's gone. So, I'm assuming that
I'm here,
still
Jesse.
There.
I'm here.
Okay.
Looks like you've got a really good chickens in the news. Why don't you go ahead and go first?
If you think it does, well, I'm not so sure. You know, in tune with the show and self-sufficiency, self-sustaining lifestyle and everything else, you know, we try to buy our food more locally. It just makes more sense. You're not paying for all the extra shipping, and it's not as hard on the environment when you're not having to ship things all the way across a country or several countries. So with keeping that in mind, once again, from my favorite poultry news website, worldpoultry.net, Alaska, last commercial poultry farm closes. So where are they going to get it from now? Citing excessive regulation as the cause, Triple D, the last commercial poultry farm in the U.S. state of Alaska, has closed. The state once housed 81,000 chickens on farms and was also known for its turkey production. Anthony Schmidt, the owner of Triple D Farms and Hatchery, said that he could not make ends meet. Poultry prices are too high for what people are willing to pay, he says. Schmidt claims a bad economy for the closure of his business. In 2008, before the crash, he bought more birds than he could sell and had been making up for it ever since, even those turkeys and chickens were widely hailed for their taste. During the 60s and the 70s, Alaska was home between 30 to 40,000 chickens, according to statistics kept by the USDA. The oil arrived, and the state invested millions of dollars into developing the agriculture business in Alaska. By 1982, Alaska was home to about 81,000 chickens, 57,000 of which were classified as layers. So there you go, Pat. It's just getting too expensive to raise them locally. So Alaska's last commercial poultry farm closes. What do you think of that?
Wow. Well, that's sad. I mean, that really is sad, and I think it doesn't necessarily have to be this way. It's interesting you picked that one up, Jesse, because I've got another one here that mirrors that, and this comes to us from Ghana, and it's a really similar thing. And so it's not just in the U.S. or in Alaska, but it says Ghana's poultry farmers are battling for survival because of the country's imports. And what they're doing is they're importing so much chickens, their local farmers are having a hard time making a profit. It says they're struggling to survive the crippling competition from their counterparts in developed country, as Ghana imports over $200 million worth of chicken every year. And I worked in Ghana for a while there, Jesse, and I know how dear the foreign exchange is. So it can be kind of hard to come up from getting foreign capital to import that kind of money just for chicken. And usually there ended up being a black market for it. It says here the major factors behind the declining state of Ghana's poultry industry are varied, of course, and complex. There's never anything simple to a lot of this. But they're saying the most significant factor is the government's policy towards the sector's growth. And what they're saying is in the small little remote communities of Ghana, poultry farming is everything. And when I was in Ghana, poultry was, I mean, there were chickens everywhere, but there were family flocks and village flocks. It's the mainstay, literally the mainstay of rural communities, and it provides the major and in some cases the only source of income for many inhabitants. So we're talking really at the village and the community level, microfinancing in so many ways. But it says the failure of successive governments to come out and with clear policies that will create protection for the local poultry industry has triggered a large surge of imported frozen food from the United States and the European Union. And yet we're still, here's where it gets really complicated in the economics, Jesse, is that the imported chicken is sold below the cost of the local chicken. So they could undercut the cost of it, and the farmers can't compete with it. I mean, we hear this here in the U.S. We can't compete with China chicken, for example, or with China.
Right.
Some of the China, it's the same principle. So this has resulted in the collapse of dozens of farms and the loss of hundreds of jobs in Ghana. And it says last year alone, the USA and Brazil together exported 200,000 tons of frozen chicken to Ghana.
Wow.
200,000 tons. I mean, if you were making that at the village level, that's an awful lot. And this article goes on. It does get into the economics of it, and it talks about how, you know, it's, again, it's sort of a third world and first world sort of thing, and even goes into the International Monetary Fund. But the bottom line is we really need to help support local agriculture, whether it's in Alaska, if it's in Ghana, they can use Ghana. At the same time, of course, we have to have markets for our U.S. products, but they're subsidized. I mean, it's really not even a true cost coming along because, as we know, and it talks about this in the article, if the U.S. has a overabundance, and we just saw that a few weeks ago where there was a glut in the chicken market because the economics had gotten a little odd. So they ended up buying, what was it, 20 million pounds, I'm working on memory here, of chicken, and they were going to feed that back to food programs in the U.S., and they'll probably send some of it to Ghana. So the U.S., again, is a, you know, it's just sort of an economic thing. So what about that? That's
I don't know. I'm getting hammered here. People are texting me wondering what I've done with Andy. The chat room is cracking me up. I've totally lost focus, you know, between Fiona and Woodcutter. You know, when I was reading my article about chickens, you know, about them closing the plant down in Alaska, in the chat room, Woodcutter, he started laughing. He says, watch out, penguins, meaning I guess they're going to be eating the penguins instead of the chickens. But anyways, having a hard time today. I'm getting texted like crazy. People are thinking I put Andy in the trunk somewhere. And between that and the chat room, I'm sorry, Pat. So I have a pretty little focus on your chickens in this news.
Well, there's another Ralph had posted a really good article too in the chat room, printed it off, and I think this kind of follows along too in sort of the healthy lifestyles and maybe self-sustaining lifestyles. And there are comments about this article as well. And the article says, Processed meats are declared too dangerous for human consumption. This is by Mike Adams, and it comes to us from Total Health Breakthroughs. It's alternative solutions for mind, body, and soul. So what this is saying is the World Cancer Research Fund has just completed a detailed review of more than 7,000 clinical studies that covers the link between diet and cancer. And their conclusion is rocking the health world with startling bluntness. This is bluntness here. They're saying, literally, processed meats are too dangerous for human consumption. And so, and they actually state in this article, consumers stop buying and eating, just stop it, stop buying and eating all processed meats for the rest of your lives. So that's nothing subtle about that, is there?
No.
Okay, so what are the processed meats? They are bacon, sausage, hot dogs, sandwich meat, packaged ham, pepperoni, oh, there goes the pizza, darn, salami, and virtually all red meat used in prepared meals. And what they're saying is they're manufactured with an ingredient known as sodium nitrite, N-I-T-R-I-T-E, sodium nitrite, and that's used as a color fixer. By the meat companies to turn packaged meats into a bright red color so they look fresh. And Jesse, have you noticed this at the grocery stores? You walk by the meat case and it looks like the meat has this really too red look to it. It doesn't look normal, and that's the sodium nitrite. Well, the sodium nitrite ends up being a cancer-causing, it results in nitrosamines in the human body, and that leads to a sharp cancer increase. And this article goes on. They found in 2005, the University of Hawaii found that processed meats, get this, processed meats increase the risk of pancreatic cancer by 67%. And another study revealed that for every 50 grams of processed meat consumed daily, that 50 grams is not a lot, but it increases the risk of colorectal cancer is what they have here, but rectal cancer by 50%. I mean, Jesse, these are truly alarming numbers. And these cancer risks do not come from eating fresh and non-processed meats. They only appear in people who regularly consume processed meats containing disodium nitrate. So there you go, beef jerky, hot dog, sandwich meats, frozen pizza with meats, kids' meals containing red meats.
You remember
the list
that
just goes on and on.
Do you remember that chicken news we had last week when we were talking about the sodium nitrates that were injected into even the fresh meats at the supermarket, not just the processed ones, but
right.
They were adding more weight per volume just by injecting sodium nitrates and in the water into the meat. So it's not just the processed meats that have that. Scary.
Yeah, it's scary. So the closer you can eat to home, I guess the summary of the chickens in the news for here today is the closer you can eat to home and the fresher, of course, the healthier it's going to be. It's just no way getting around it.
Right, and if you were in a chat room, you'd see that there's very many solutions or alternatives, it looks like, from suggestions in the chat room, everything from camel to polar bear. So it's not just chicken, I guess. You just get into the chat room
from camel to polar bear?
Not camel, yeah. I mean, we're getting penguins, camels, polar bears. We get all sorts of alternatives that our listeners are offering up in the chat room today. So, yes.
For local fresh meats. Okay.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. That's a little random, but hey, why not? I know my dogs love hot dogs. I mean, my neighbor gives it to them for a treat.
Yes.
And I know
your
too,
dogs
Jesse,
don't
that,
live to 80, though, so I guess they can get
away with it. Right. Well, I think if you extrapolate the age proportionally for dogs to humans, they're both in their 80s.
Yes.
One's 12, the other's 13, but yeah. Yeah. Well, I know that it has been statistically proven that the more hot dogs a kid eats, the more likely they can get leukemia. There is a definite link between leukemia and hot dogs, and that's a little scary. So, and of course, then there's Red Hawk in our chat room says that the uncle never eats anything but those processed meats, and he's 80 and looks like he's 40. So.
Well, there's always exceptions.
There you go. I mean, there are exceptions to the rule.
Yes. Yes. You know, I know more and more people, it seems, that have what they call a share in a cow that's been raised up, either a quarter or half share, and it's processed and butchered locally. They know what's gone into it. Now, mind you, it's not the it tastes a little different than what we're used to from the local supermarket, but I know a lot of people, it seems, lately are going to what they call a cattle share. Have you heard of that at all, Pat?
Right. Oh, yes. We even when I was growing up, we'd get a half a cow or a quarter cow from my uncle as a
right.
sort of a cow share. And that's, well, there are cow shares. There are milk shares. I mean, there are so many ways to support local suppliers. We're lucky enough here in Rockbridge County to have a local processor. A local slaughterhouse, so we can go down and just get cuts, whatever we might need.
Oh,
so
nice.
that is really, really nice. And our farmers market, they're getting more and more chickens. They're doing more and more pastured chickens, making them available. And it's growing across the country. We're hoping next year to hopefully have a portable processing unit, an MPU, so they can go around to the farms and just do it on site.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And even Jesse here, Jesse Phelps, I guess, is in the chat room, says his dad is 58 and he's pretty much all he lives on is processed meats until Jesse moved in with him 2 months ago, 2 years ago. That's what I mean. This chat room jumps around a little bit to
read
it.
Yes.
So it's true. And I know my ex, Andy, used to think that Slim Jim's was a gourmet sausage. I mean, he's moved down to South America, and he's lost weight because there's no junk food down there.
Wow.
So he's looking healthier and has lost weight. Oh, dear.
Now, have you ever eaten Spam? I mean, there's people that absolutely love that stuff, talking about processed meats.
Yeah, we had it as a kid, growing up. We kind of lived on the wrong side of the tracks, and Spam was we often have Spam dinners. But I suspect the meat back then, I mean, this is a very long time ago, might be different from the Spam now. And it did taste pretty good, but I haven't eaten it probably in 4 decades, something like that.
I mean, think of it. It was so bad that they named junk email after it. Jeez.
That's one form of advertising, isn't it?
Yes.
Grover says he loves Spam. The Spam is the mystery meat. Mystery bags. Remember on there was an episode on MASH where Radar was trying to save this lamb. He fell in love with this little lamb, and he didn't want to have it for Easter. And he finally came up when they served it that day. They had a Spam lamb.
Yes.
Instead
of
the real thing.
Yeah, once again, you're forcing me to date myself, but yes, I of course I remember that episode. I saw it like a dozen times.
I loved Radar. Yeah, it was just so right there.
Yes.
Sweet. Okay. Well, it's now time. Let's go to another short commercial break, honor our sponsors, and when we come back, we're going to honor and have online Bill Wolf. He is from the owner of the Poultry Press. Sure, he's on the show, and we're so pleased and honored that he come join us here. And you arranged for him to come on, Jesse. Thank you for doing that.
Oh, it's my pleasure. He's a good guy.
Excellent. So. Well, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
EggCartons.com, your discount supplier of egg cartons and poultry supplies. They carry a wide variety of egg cartons in paper, plastic, and foam, as well as a great selection of poultry supplies, including incubators, brooders, waterers, feeders, and more. Order online at eggcartons.com or call toll-free 1-888-852-5340. Free full-color catalog available. Be sure to sign up for their online newsletter for more great specials. That's eggcartons.com.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Oh, yeah! All right.
Yes.
I love that. Oh, yeah.
Yes, I
know. Okay, well, welcome back, folks, to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And it is now time to bring on our special guest. Would you like to introduce him, Jesse, or do you want me to go ahead?
Oh, sure. It'd be my pleasure. Like to bring on the show Mr. Bill Wolf, who's been in the poultry probably since the early 1880s, owner of the Poultry Press, and also one of the principals of the upcoming Crossroads show in Indiana. Bill, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I am here.
Got to have your drum roll, Bill.
That had to be Mr. Paul.
Oh. No, that was actually Pat with the sound effects. I would have used the zing, so.
Yeah, he did. He wanted to have a zing for you, Paul, Bill, but I just said, no. You double Hoosier, and I just can't sing another Hoosier. So I grew up in Richmond, not too far in Connersville.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
So, Bill, thanks for joining us. Pat, you're kind of breaking up a little bit, but Bill, thanks so much for joining us. And if I would like to start, I'd like to ask you how long. I was teasing when I said 1880, of course, and I need to be careful when I tease with you because you always come well armed with great comebacks. But what was your start in poultry? If we could start there, how did you get started? How old were you?
Well, I started raising birds back when I was probably 10 or 11 years old, and just had mixed bantams at the backyard. And when I got to junior high, I was able, in woodworking, I built a small chicken building, which was no more than 4 foot by 3 foot. And my dad made a comment to me one time, he never seen so many chickens that could be crammed in such a little building. But that's just how I liked birds, and they were just crossbred bantams until I found out about the exhibition world, and I found it out about from Virgil Carey, who lived in town, and he not only was a breeder and exhibitor, he was also and still is, an American Bantam Association, American Poultry Association general licensed judge, and he still is here in Connersville. I think he's 90 or 91. So,
and you guys went to school together, right?
We went to school together, yeah. And I think Jesse Paul was both our teachers.
Yes. See what I mean, Pat? I got to be careful with that.
And that's the reason I had to go to Virgil to learn about birds.
Yes.
So, but that's how we got our start. And then after got out of high school, I built some more houses and found out about exhibition birds. It was during high school and started out with black rose combs and sea brights. And after I got out of high school, went into Old English.
And what do you currently raise out there now, Bill, personally at your place?
We're still raising red pile, wheat and Old English, red pile and South Blue Modern Bantams, Buff Brahma Bantams, and red pile large fowl moderns.
Plus I have seen some of your
calls.
Yes, I've seen your large fowl moderns at Georgia. Actually, we just hanging out with Andy a little bit. What's the name of that show? The Chattahoochee Poultry Association show, whatever. I did get to see some of your moderns, and I didn't even know they came in large fowl. So they're wonderful.
They come in several different colors, but there's not too many people around the country that's really working with them, and they've always been a fascination with me. So I decided to. It took me forever to find some. And what I started with wasn't exactly what I really wanted, but as Ralph Sturgeon, who wrote a book, he says, start with what you have, and that's what you have to do. And the old-timers always told me to do a project would take 7 to 9 years, and we're now in our eighth year.
Right. And of course, you also raised, like you said, pastel calls, and I know that you have a bunch of them. So.
Yes, we do. Didn't have a good year hatching them, but we did raise some.
You know, it seems to be a general thing across the country this year. A lot of people had trouble with the call ducks. But Bill, I know you're originally a newspaper man, and that's kind of how you came into the poultry press. Can you kind of go a little bit back and tell us how you got involved in the newspaper and then the poultry press?
Well, after I got out of high school, I went to work for our local newspaper, doing all the typical kind of jobs that you do when you very start out, and then eventually got into the press room and camera room, where I worked in the camera room and developed out pictures and did the negatives to make the plates for the various press runs that we had. Then eventually I went into circulation, and always have liked newspaper business, and so when I was going to the shows on various occasions, I would run into Bob Delancey, who owned the poultry press, and we started hounding him from about my age of 25 until 40 when we purchased it. And it had been in the Delancey family since 1914. They had it for 72 years and 8 months. It started out with his grandfather.
1914. See, people don't realize it's been around that long.
Yes.
So, wow, 1914. Okay.
It's the oldest, I would say, surviving newspaper still around as far as poultry world. And it started like with his Bob Delancey's grandfather and then his father. Then he took it over. Mm-hmm. And then we purchased from him in 1986. So that's how we got it. And every time I would see him at a show, I'd say, Bob, don't forget, when you get ready to retire and sell it, if nobody in your family is interested, I would be interested. So that's how it all started.
Well, and now, you send your magazine all over the world too, right, Bill?
Yes, it goes all over the world. So it's like I said, we bought it in '86, and now my daughter owns it. She purchased from us. It'll be two years in September the 1st, and so we are in our retirement age, and so trying to relax a little. And we still go to the shows, and I still help my daughter with the paper because it's a big project.
You know, I'm laughing here, Pat, because I've had the, you know, it's really been a pleasure dealing with the Wolf family, but it's kind of funny because they like to pass the buck back and forth with, you know, just of course in playing around, but this, who's actually in charge of the paper, whether it's Bill's daughter Jennifer, she's just a lot of fun, or Bill, so. A lot of times she'll say, that she's just the figurehead, and you know, it's the stories of Bill being locked out on payday and stuff. So it's kind of funny. We're not sure exactly who's in charge of that paper, but it's the Wolf family. That's all I know.
Yeah. I will tell you it is her because she gets all the figures.
Uh-huh.
I'm free labor.
Yes.
I am free labor.
Oh. I'm sure it's far from free that you get so many benefits from continuing on as well. But,
get to talk to people like Jesse Paul.
That is a benefit, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's hard to put a price on that, isn't it?
Yeah, that's hard to put a price. I'll guarantee you that.
Well, that's funny. So I just want to thank you for the Poultry Press. It's kind of like a combining thread that keeps the poultry community updated. I mean, it's if you don't have the Poultry Press, I believe the website address is www.poultrypress.com, and you can subscribe there. But it's very informative. It's great articles. All the help me out here, Bill. The poultry clubs, they all have articles almost monthly in there.
Yes, they have. A lot of the breed clubs put their articles in there to keep their membership updated. I mean, it's a good avenue for them that when they have something going on that they can let their membership know, because a lot of these breed clubs, it is so expensive, as everybody knows, about printing things anymore. And
yes,
they've got an avenue where they can put in articles. We don't charge them anything for articles. We do charge for the advertising, and that is our what makes the – keeps the newspaper going. And as most people know, in today's world, newspaper business is becoming a very dying business. And the biggest problem is, and I always tell my kids, they are part of it. My son is 40. My daughter is 37. They don't read newspapers. And most of the young folks do not read them. Everything they get is off of the internet, off their cell phones and things like that. And, of course, I've always got all my kids about not reading. How do you know what's going on? And, you know, in today's world, it's just like Gaddafi. I bet you if I asked both my kids, they would not know who the man is. And
really?
But yet, you know, yes. I mean, it's that way out there in the world today. Most of the young people do not read a newspaper. And
you know,
I know
it's funny you mention him, because Pat was worried that yesterday, within the middle of the earthquake, she thought maybe it was Gaddafi taking over. And I said, no, that was just you gearing up for the show today. So,
well, that possibly could be right. That was when we were negotiating for wages about this. Remember, Jesse?
Yes, and I told you Pat would pay you right after the show, exactly.
There you go.
Right. Well, you know, I'm on your website here, Bill, the poultrypress.com, and also I've got my issue of the Poultry Press right in front of me, and it's a thick newspaper. There's nothing wimpy about this at all. It has two sections on it, and what's interesting is you also have information like about judges. You post show articles. There's a monthly articles you mentioned. You got coupons in here. There's one from Purina. That you have a whole classified section, which is pretty neat. So if you can't find something, go in the classified section. And I've got to tell you, one of the things, and there, so many kids with their so proud with their birds and adults, but they're a bunch of smiling people here in this Poultry Press, which is pretty neat. So it's just loaded with information. Letters to the editors. You even have deaths and funerals of poultry people, sort of poultry pioneers, and those that are really active in the poultry industry.
Yes, and we're one of the newspapers that does not charge for obituaries. As you know, most daily newspapers, they charge for obituaries now. And you know, I've always been in the newspaper business, and newspaper is a service business. You know, and you're supposed to provide the service for the people.
So, yeah. Yeah. Well, one of the advantages, it was sort of an unintended consequence when I started getting your paper, the Poultry Press, is I would use it underneath where my cats eat as just a cover that I have to feed them. And it's on top of my dryer that's kind of in the kitchen so the dogs don't get all the cat food. And what I found is I would end up looking at the pictures of the birds, and I started testing myself, what breed is that? So it's really improved my knowing which breed is which just by looking at the pictures and then reading the subtitles with them. So... Yeah, that's been fun.
Bill's got a cute little buzz phrase that I've always kind of found amusing for years and years, is that in some of the advertising spots in the Poultry Press, Bill says, those who complain about feed costs don't advertise in the Poultry Press, or something along those lines. So
that is true, because, you know, when people complain about the high feed costs, they sell some of these birds, but, you know, it's like a man standing out in a blinding snow. Nobody knows he's there unless you know he's there. And, you know, one of the best advertisements I ever seen run in our daily newspaper one time was a grocery store. They took out a full-page ad and put a block in there, probably an inch and a half by an inch and a half, put it right in the middle, and just put their store logo in there. And everybody would call into the newspaper and say, there's nothing on that page, just that one thing. Well, that's what was supposed to be in there. It got your attention, and that's exactly what they were looking for. They don't know what you have out there unless you let them know what you have.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had great results with advertising that newspaper. Between that and the Chicken Whisperer radio show, which was the two best forms that we've found of advertising as well. Just it's more community oriented to what we do. So, but anyways, Bill. You know, I wanted to kind of make sure that we had enough time to talk about the big show coming up. It's been the talk of other guests on this show as well, and it's the big buzz about it. So could you tell us about what it is, when it is, and we'll go from there, Bill?
Okay. We have the Crossroads of America Poultry Club, which we call America's National because it's for everyone. It will be held October the 28th, 29th, and 30th of this year at the Indiana State Fairgrounds at Indianapolis, Indiana. We put on one of these shows. Seven families went together back. We started in 2003 talking about it, and then we put on the first show back in 2006. And at that show, we had 11,640 birds there for competition.
11,640 birds. Can you imagine that?
Oh, my gosh.
Of all different kinds.
Yes, and that was the second largest show ever held in the United States, and we were very, very proud of it. And we got the other one coming on this year. And I'm going to give you a list of some of the judges that's going to be there, because we've got them from all sections of the United States. We have 13 judges for the open show. And by the way, this show is not on me. this is on my son and Danny Padgett down in Florida is putting it on. So
Danny Padgett?
Danny Padgett. So
your buddy but, Sydney, okay.
Yep. And the judges for this year's show will be Dave Anderson from California, Phil Bards from Tennessee, Terry Britt from Oklahoma, Heather Hayes from Canada, Tracy Hill, Texas, Connor Keegan, California, Troy LaRoche, Canada, Jimmy Matz, New York, Paul Monteith, Canada, Don Nelson, Rhode Island, Art Reber from Iowa, Jim Salee, California, and Mike Waskowski from Delaware. They are doing the open show, and Jeff Hallback from Wisconsin, Frank Harris from Virginia, Paul Kroll, New York, and Pat Malone from Texas will be judging our junior show. And when we had the 11,640 birds the last time, our junior show had almost 1,600 birds in it. And that was juniors competing for a lot of awards.
And 1,600 birds is bigger than most regular shows.
And they are, yes, it is. It's bigger than most normal shows.
And, Bill, you just named off, I don't know how many judges, but most shows would have 2 to 3 judges maximum. I don't know how many you just named off, so that is phenomenal. This show is going to be massive. And, of course, I think everybody that's anybody is going to be there. Everyone's talking about it, and it's going to be a big to-do. The thing is a lot of people, backyard raisers, might not know how the whole class system and the judging system works. So I was wondering if you could enlighten some of our listeners to how that works. I mean, do they just go through the 16,000 birds or whatever it is and just pick one? Or, I mean, can you kind of give us an idea of what happens at one of these shows, Bill?
Okay. There's several different classifications that these birds go into. And as I have tried to put in writing many times and talk to people whenever I get the opportunity, when you go to a poultry show, when you put your bird in there, the first thing that you have to do is get a first place, because it can't go any further until you get a first place. And after it becomes first place, there's like in the class, there's like cocks, that's the old birds, the hens are the old females, cockerels are young birds under a year old, and pullets are young females under a year old, and they have old trios that you take a male and two females and put them together. And when they judge trios, 50% of the trio is based upon the male. So the male has to be superior, and when you put two females together with him, you have to get two females that look almost perfectly alike, because if you don't, they're not going to go anywhere in it. So after you get that first place.
Now, hang on a sec, Billy. The first place, that would be the variety, or for lack of a better term, the color of a specific breed.
Right.
So they start competing against their own variety first, right?
Right. You have varieties, which goes to breed. So what you have to do is get best of variety. So the first thing you need to get is a BV, which is best of variety. And then after that, you compete, take your bird and compete against all the rest of the different colors in the class. And like, I'll use Old English for example. There's over 40 different varieties of Old English colors in those Old English class, besides the ones that has not got into the standard yet. So you know you got to get a best of variety. Then after that, you get a best of breed, which is a BB, best of breed. And in the Old English class, that's one class along with American Games that you have to have best Old English or American Game to go any further in that class. So when they get done picking the best of breed, if there's a best of breed Old English, say it's a black-breasted red Old English, and there's a black American Game, they compare those two birds for which is best in that class, which is either the Old English or the American Game for the Old English or American Game. And then after you get that class, then when they get the 7 classifications in Bantams, there's a modern game, there's Old English and American Game, there's single comb clean legged, rose comb clean legged, AOCCL, any other comb clean legged, feather legged, and then Bantam duck. when they get the best of each one of those classifications, the judges go back and pick Grand Champion Bantam. That would be the best Bantam out of those top seven.
Now Phil, to interrupt here, these birds are judged according to the what they call the standard, right,
yes,
in the APA and ABA?
The American Bantam Association standard and the American Poultry Association standard. It's a thing that is written up. It's no different than having a book to go by for horses, cattle, sheep. The Bantam Association and the American Poultry Association has standards that they go by. And the difference is between the American Bantam Association and the American Poultry Association, the American Bantam Association only recognizes Bantams. The American Poultry Association recognizes Bantams, large fowl, large waterfowl, turkeys, and guineas. So then when them, okay? Did you have a question?
Nope.
Okay. And so after they get done picking champion Bantam, then you have the chance to go up between the large fowl, the waterfowl, and the guinea and the turkey. And then they end up picking either super grand champion of the whole show. They'll pick the best bird out of all the birds that's in that show. And at the Crossroads show, if you're lucky enough to win super grand champion of the show, you will win $500.
Wow.
And reserve super grand champion of the show, I think, is $250. Yeah, it's $250.
Right.
But originally we talked about doing this as a one-time thing, and then my son and Danny Padgett decided they wanted to try to do it again, and so that's what they're doing. So I told him back when we first talked about this that in 2006 or 2007 I was going to be 60 or 61, and we needed to get it done because you don't know how many more good years you got to put into health-wise and body-wise as we get older. So we did it in 2006, and so now we're doing it again in 2011.
Right, and we do appreciate you putting this thing on, and yes, I know you give credit to a lot of credit to Danny, but first of all, I've seen you, I've met with you. You're very, very young for your age, so don't be talking like you're an old fella. Seem very fit as well, and also want to thank Danny for his involvement too. You and Danny have been friends for a great number of years, right?
Great number of years, yep. And when we started that back in 2003, when we were talking about doing the first one, and I told the seven families, the last meeting we had before we decided to go to the state fair, to ask them about getting a building and the cost factor and things like that, what it's going to cost. I says, now, this has all been decided, and I only have one more statement to make to you, and that is, if this show is going to ruin any of our friendships, I do not want to do this.
Right.
So that was more important to me than, you know, anything else. I mean, it's friendships and keeping doing the things for the fancy, and it's not about promoting the person or people. It's to promote the poultry fancy. That is the most important thing, just as it is with the juniors, which is the future of our fancy. And it's very, very, very important to have these young, as I call them, young adults. I don't call them kids because I think they're young adults, and you know, we're in hopes that they will continue on with the poultry fancy. Yes, they will go to college. They will probably get rid of birds. They will probably get married, have lives, businesses, jobs.
And come back to it.
And then come back to it. And that's
That's
the thing. And you're never wasting your time when you put time and energy into young adults.
Now, Bill, we're going to have to go to commercial break here, Pat's telling me. But when we come back, I'd like to talk about the youth programs. And for those who haven't been in it yet or want to put their children into it, or their young adults, as you say, into it, we'll discuss that when we come back. What do you think, Pat?
Oh, I think that's great. And Bill, you know, I haven't been to a poultry show yet where the youth and the dedication towards shepherding and the helping young kids show and then continue on with the breeds and the showing. It's been there every single show and been a focus. And I think that's a wonderful philosophy of the entire poultry community, starting at 4-H probably and going clear on up.
Yes.
Another thing, Bill, that might be interesting to talk about when we come back is about Save the Hobby. I see it on your website. You've got some articles in there about Save the Hobby, and that might be interesting for our listeners to learn a little more about. So we'll be right back, folks. Our special guest today is Bill Wolfe. He's the owner, and I guess a family owner, of the Poultry Press from Connersville, Indiana.
It is my daughter.
And they've been.
Yeah.
And your daughter. What's your daughter's name, Bill?
Jennifer. Jennifer Frank.
Jennifer. Jennifer Wolfe.
Jennifer Wolfe Frank. Okay. Yes.
Well, Frank, okay. And they have been promoting, the Poultry Press has been promoting standard bred poultry since 1914. So we'll be right back, folks.
Hey, it's the Chicken Whisperer. If you're in the market for a new incubator, then look no further than GQF. They have a great selection of tabletop and cabinet-style incubators at prices you can afford. I love my GQF Genesis Model 1588. It has a large picture window and an automatic thermostat, which makes for a better hatch every time. Go pick out your new incubator at GQFradio.com. That's GQFradio.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com. First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality built chicken coops for every size flock and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com.
That's WAREMFGINC.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
Oh, yeah! Actually, in reality, I am Super Chicken.
All right. Welcome back, folks, to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. Our special guest today is Bill Wolf and of the Poultry Press. And he and his daughter, Jennifer, run it. It's been going since 1914, promoting standard bred poultry. So, Jesse, you're back live, and Bill, you're live. So why don't we pick up where we started or where we ended.
Bill, I was hoping that you could educate us, especially those who the parents who are wanting to get their kids involved in showing into and then maybe, you know, the preparation and what actually happens at the show, and then maybe touch upon the showmanship aspect of it as well. So, Bill?
Well, the first thing is like when these young adults go to take their birds to the shows, they really need to wash them and use something mild soap. Probably one that I use when we wash birds is like Dawn, because it's real mild. And you wash the birds real good to get them good and clean. Clean their toes, their toenails, their beaks. Trim their beaks, trim their toenails. And then you can take them and dry them off. A lot of people take a little bit of bluing and put it in the water. And when I say put bluing in, put very, very little, in, especially into a white bird, because you will have the most beautiful blue bird or green bird that you've ever seen if you do not.
I've seen it happen, as a matter of fact. So.
It has happened. And people even do it when they take their ducks and put a little blue in there to get them nice and brilliant white color. And, you know, it's the little things that mean the big things when you're showing exhibition poultry. And we've been very, very fortunate over the period of years. We've judged a lot of 4-H county fairs throughout Indiana, Ohio, and Michigan, and Illinois. And when we go to the shows, the thing is, when you go to judge the bird, a lot of these young adults are with you. They can ask you questions about their birds. And you see a lot of them that have, they're not the true exhibition birds. And you got to look at the APA or ABA standard to know what you're looking at. So you make sure that you get the right kind of birds in the right class. And being in the newspaper business my whole life, I was circulation manager at our local newspaper, and when we used to sign up paper carriers, I used to tell every carrier and their parents when we signed them up, there are no dumb questions, only dumb answers people will give you. If you have a question, don't go ask someone else. Come to us, and we will fix you, help you with your newspaper. Because when we used to sign carriers up at age 12, we wanted to keep them all the way through high school. And when you had a carrier on for 6 years, that relieved a lot of problems on keeping hiring someone. And it's the same thing with doing your birds. It all is the same thing. And most of the shows will have showmanship. And we go through, when we do showmanship, we don't do a lot of them that it's standardized like what a lot of the shows like for you to do. The things that I'm really interested in these young adults is their knowledge of poultry. Everybody can show chickens that want to, but their knowledge on their own birds. The first question I always ask every young adult is, what kind of bird do you have, and what made you decide to raise this kind of bird? And you can separate out a lot of the top showmanship kids that way, because the ones that know their birds and are into them will give you a lot of information. And when we ask questions for the young adults, we give them the answer after we're done with each young adult. If we ask them a question and you ask them how many toenails a chicken has, and Jesse, how many toenails does a chicken have?
That depends.
Huh?
Four or five. Four or five, it depends.
four or five, exactly right, because there's some breeds, there's about three breeds out there that have five toenails. And one of them is...
That was the trivia question here recently. Bill, to cut you off, what are the age groups? I mean, how young can they start?
Well, 4-H usually starts around 10. And in our open shows, there's a lot of the shows that do peewee classes with classes of 6 and under. And there's a lot of young adults there that know a lot about their own birds. And then they usually break them off into different classes and age groups, and they'll go like 68, 9 to 12, 13 to 15, and 16 to 18 in different classifications. And each show does them different, however they want to do them. So they go to the intermediate, the seniors, the juniors, the peewees.
And Bill, what I've noticed, I've also had the absolute pleasure of doing a judging a show, and the pleasure was actually doing the showmanship. The kids, it's so much more for them in showmanship than just chickens. I mean, they're learning so much. It's how to speak properly to adults and you know how to present themselves, because their presentation of themselves is also usually on a judging sheet. So it's much more than just knowing about their chickens. It's also how they present themselves as well. Wouldn't you say that's an accurate statement?
That is true. And the kids, the young adults, are the ones that are the most confident will use eye contact. And that's what I tell them. When you go out in the world, be sure to use eye contact, because it'll make a big difference in your life. If you look down, you know, you don't seem to be interested. And there's a lot of shy young adults. But, you know, you got to try to make sure that they go through life. They got to go with that positive thing. Always think positive. Never think negative. Go positive.
Right, and that's a great example of what I was saying, Bill, about it being so much more than just about chickens. They're also learning life skills as they go through this showmanship process. And, you know, most of them really enjoy it. And they are just so cute, so much fun to do. But when it comes to doing shows, that's our favorite part, is the youth and the youth showmanship. So... If you're wanting to get your kids in to a show, what would they need to do, Bill?
Well, the best thing to do is most of them, you start out with 4-H, and then if they got the interest, and the parents are going to be the biggest cog in this whole thing. There are young adults out there that would love to go to shows, but the parents aren't interested. And the most valuable person in this poultry world to the young adults is these parents that will take the time, energy, money to take these young men and women to these shows so they can compete against their own, and they learn a great deal. And it's very rewarding. And it may not be monetary. It's just the things that you learn in life and being out there and getting to know people. And meeting them,
and of course, if they win, it sure is nice having their picture in the poultry press. I know the kids absolutely love that.
Yes, they do. And as I've printed in the articles many times, when you go to a poultry show, there's absolutely positively no losers. There's people that win, but there is never a loser because of the fact that you may not place the best bird in show or win a classification or win a best of variety, but you are there trying to compete against people that are the best at it. And it takes a lot of years to do it. There's people that can come in there and do it overnight. But on the long run, you got to do it for a long period of time.
Right. I have the distinct pleasure of getting to compete with your buddy Danny down here at the local shows. So can you imagine what that's like?
Oh, I know what it's like. It's always very enjoyable to compete against him.
Yeah.
So, but
actually, you know what? He is a true gentleman, and there's a little kibitzing around, but I absolutely love showing against Danny down here. He's one of the guys that's really good for the hobby. So
win or lose with him, he's the same.
Yes.
You know, if he doesn't win, and he's been very, very fortunate over the period of years, winning a lot of shows. But as I tell people, you have to have a good bird with a lot more luck to go any place in the show industry. You got to have a lot of luck, because each one of those, to go that next step and those classifications, the best of breed and all that, you have to have a lot of luck with a good bird. Because a lot of people, there's lots of people out there with good birds.
Yes. As a matter of fact, if you guys get a chance to meet Danny, would you do me a huge favor when you get to see him again, Bill? Would you ask Danny what happened with that duck that I beat him with? He'll definitely laugh, and he'll have to tell you the story. That's another show at the time. But ask him about the gray call duck that I beat him with last year. He'll definitely get a chuckle, and maybe a foul word or two. Well, but ask him about the gray call. So if you guys meet Danny at the shows this year, ask him about Jesse Paul's gray call that beat him last year. It's good for a smile or two. So anyways. Okay.
Yeah. Bill, I have a question. I'm on your website. You have a whole section dedicated to Save the Hobby. Do you want to tell us about that?
Well, Save the Hobby is the thing, and it's ongoing. The biggest thing is you've got to get out there and show your birds. As everybody knows, there's more and more government regulations with everything. Birds have to be tested to go to shows. Even when you're in the 4-H level, your birds have to come from a pleurium-free flock. And in a lot of states, you've got to have them AI tested. And
right.
We are very, very fortunate in our state that you can send eggs to the state to do AI testing. You don't have to do blood work or anything like that. All you have to do is send eggs in, and they can blood test for AI. Our state, we are very, very fortunate. And some of the other states are starting to move towards it. And it's to save the hobby, you've got to, there's always regulations in everything in life we do. It's just like growing up with our parents. There's rules and regulations, and you know, if you want to keep going, you're going to have to do it. As we all know, feed costs are up, gas prices are up, everything is a cost factor going up. But exhibition poultry is one of the, what I call the less expensive hobbies that there is out there, that you can get enjoyment 365 days a year with your birds. You don't even have
right.
to go to a show to win, because you know you like your birds no matter if they win or not. It's what we like. And to keep doing that with Saving the Hobby, you've got to do everything that we can possibly do to keep it going. You know, it's, like I said, it's expensive, but you just can't give up, and you just got to be able to support the poultry fancy.
Right, and of course, there's a lot about when the USDA surveillance program, which was, I think that was shot down, but it keeps seeming like it's popping its head back up. And of course, the testing here in Virginia, we really can't hold an interstate poultry show very easily, because it has a 10-day testing requirement. So pretty much interstate shows have just stopped here because of that, and it's just crazy, as well as an economic deficit for us.
Yeah, and that's for the AI testing. And Virginia and North
right.
Carolina was one of the two first states to start on that. For the AI, because they had some AI came in through the commercial type flocks, and you know, I go to these NPIP meetings wherever they're held, and they're always trying to do away with the poultry fancy. They think that we're a problem.
They do. That's right.
But the poultry
fancy. I mean,
that's
really getting to the source of it, isn't it?
Yes, and the poultry fancy has never been a problem. Yes, as I tell people, there are stinkers in the poultry fancy that don't take care of the birds, and they may be dirty. They could have some disease. But for the majority, we have never caused a problem. And that's one of the things, when I was at one of the NPIP meetings, and they were trying to do away with us and cut us out, and there was a veterinarian from Georgia that was discussing it, and I raised my hand. And I got some strange looks from some of my personal friends, what they figured was going to come out of my mouth. But I said, well, I travel all over the country and into Canada. I've been to shows where there's been 50 birds. I've been to shows where there's been 12,000 birds. And we have never had a case of AI in any of our birds.
That's right.
Now, how can we be a problem? And after I explained that, when they took the vote, they left us alone and gave us special exceptions on, and I keep going back to these meetings to fight for it. We have a 180-day testing program for exhibition poultry, where commercial has to do a 90-day test on AI. And the biggest reason why is because exhibition poultry, we have such a small time frame for our breeding flocks, the same way with the rheas, the emus, pheasants, game fowl. We have such a short time that if you went into one of those big pheasant flocks or game bird flocks and tried to AI test some of them birds, your breeding season is going to be done, because you go in there and mess with them birds and they're done. They won't lay anymore the rest of the year, and that part of it will be done. So they give us a 180-day time frame on exhibition birds, and it makes it very, very easy on doing that. I mean, it's, like I said, with our state, with Indiana, that egg testing makes it very, very easy for AI testing. And we've been to lots of states. When I went to Delaware back in March, they sent me some test tubes. We took and swabbed the bird's throat, put them back in the tubes, sent them back to them, and had no problems. And I've had my birds AI tested at several shows where I travel throughout the country, and I even volunteer for it because I don't worry about having AI.
You know, Bill, I wanted to touch on that briefly. You know, when it comes to the birds at any show, Pat, they're all NPIP tested. Or if you don't, when we go, we show our NPIP certification. If those who aren't NPIP certified, their birds are tested, blood tested, bled right there before they're actually put into any coops. So the poultry show circuit would have some of the cleanest, healthiest birds. I mean, these are show birds. People take great care of these. So, you know, with that in mind, you're going to get, for the majority, really good, healthy birds that are part of the NPIP program.
Yeah.
That's well said.
Go ahead.
Anyways, Bill, we are running a little bit short on time. I want to tell you it's a pleasure to sponsor that Crossroads show as the owner of Bidbird. I guess you'll see the Bidbird name hanging from all the coop tags, hopefully.
Yes, they will be.
There was. Yeah. Actually, you know, it's funny because Pat called me Big Bird once, and Bill Wolf has referred to us as eggbid.com, which is the old auction site that's no longer around. So, yes, it's not eggbid.com sponsoring the show as put out by accident. It's actually Bidbird. So.
And we put an apology into the newspaper for the September issue.
Of course you did.
Apologize to him for that.
Yes.
And that was done by no other than myself when I was helping my son get the catalog ready when he's putting it together. And I just gave him the wrong name when we wrote a thank you into the sponsors that helped sponsor the show.
Yes. Well, we'll get the name right one of these days between you and Pat. It is Bidbird. But Bill, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Bill, so much. And Bill, just let me tell our listeners that you can subscribe to the Poultry Press. You can just call them on the phone at 765-827-0932, or you can subscribe through their website, which is poultrypress.com. And it's only $26 a year. You get 12 issues. It comes out monthly, and you get a lot in those 12 issues. It's a really wonderful newspaper to subscribe to. So, Bill, again, thank you so much for coming on.
You're welcome, and any time that you'd like to do this, we'll be more than glad to do it. And I really appreciate that Jesse promised to send me those pastel calls that he has down there to me for doing this for him.
Yes, I'll talk to you off air. Yes. funny guy.
Okay, well, I look forward to meeting you at Crossroads too, Bill. I plan to be there. So, our special guest today was Bill Wolf. He is the Poultry Press, and they've been promoting standard bred poultry since 1914. I'm so impressed with that. Located in Connersville, Indiana. And Jesse, Paul, thank you so much for coming on and being a co-host again. You're always wonderful to work with. I really, really appreciate you. And of course, we also appreciate our chat room chickeneers and all our listeners for clucking along. Where would we be without you? And blogtalkradio.com provides our radio, chat, and our video services. Andy Schneider is the Chicken Whisperer, and he will be back tomorrow for having promoted ManaPro and networking like crazy. And, of course, I'm Pat Foreman, and from all of us, from absolutely all of us, blessings to all, and may the flock be with you. God bless everyone. Ha 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 ha